Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.
You are listening to the Hirschsprungs Hour on UK Health Radio, where I interview incredible people with a connection to Hirschsprungs disease and other associated conditions, such as IBD, IBS, Crohn's, colitis, and ulcerative colitis. Each week, I bring you a new and exciting interview with people from all walks of life, including charity founders, models, and professional sports people. We go through the ups and downs of having Hirschsprungs with a positive message throughout.
Hello, and welcome to episode 63 of Tom's Hirschsprungs podcast. I have a unique one for you today, one that certainly we haven't come across as yet on the podcast, and will be really, really interesting to listen to and find out a little bit more, especially on the genetic side. So I am delighted to welcome Tash Jacobs. Tash, welcome to the podcast.
Hi.
Thanks so much for coming on. I know I mentioned a little bit there in the intro that this is a very unique set of circumstances. And something that I haven't come across yet in terms of Hirschsprung's disease. I guess I'll ask you to sort of start from the beginning and fill us in a little bit more.
Yeah, sure. So I have got two sons, Tyler and Casey. Tyler is 7, Casey is 5. So pregnant with Tyler, completely healthy, normal pregnancy. He was born and he basically was just very poorly as soon as he was born. He wouldn't feed, and then he vomited and the vomit was green and he was rushed to NICU. We were then in NICU and he basically it was either he has cystic fibrosis or Hirschsprung's disease. They were the two options I was given. And so they tested for both of those. Obviously it was a biopsy for Hirschsprung's disease. And he had Hirschsprung's disease. He didn't have cystic fibrosis. So it was completely, I'd never heard of this disease in my life. My husband or I'd never, didn't have a clue about it. No one on either side of our families has it. So then it was just all about, what do we do? What next? What now? He's got this disease. So where do we go from here? We were sent home with washouts, which we were taught to do in NICU. So he was having like 2-3 washouts a day until his pull-through operation when he was about 7 weeks old. And so he had that, and thankfully, he had short segment Hirschsprung's disease. I think they removed about 20 centimetres, they said to me at the time. And Tyler is now 7, and it's kind of been we've never looked back. Like, he has different things he has to do to manage the symptoms of Hirschsprung's. So sometimes he might smear and things like that, but we have different things that we do to help him with that, and he's very aware of it all, and he's very confident, and we've tried not to make a big deal out of it. He has a routine in terms of when he goes to the toilet and everything. He knows what foods can trigger him and things like that. So to be honest with you, when we see consultants, they can't get over how great he's done. Anyway, 2 years after he was born, I had Casey, and I just knew straight away he was born, and he was literally just presenting exactly the same way as Tyler. And I literally just said, take him to NICU and give him a biopsy. And I know he's got Hirschsprung's disease. So they did, and he did. They told me at the time, that because they're brothers, it would be a like for like. It'll be exactly the same and, you know, it'll be the same outcome as Tyler. So I was like, okay, it'll be, they said if Tyler's got short segment, Casey's will be short segment and, you know, it'll be the same sort of thing. So I found that quite positive, really, because I thought, well, you know, Tyler's doing really well. We can manage this. We'll take him home. We'll get it sorted. It'll be fine. The same thing, brought him home on washouts. The only thing that was different this time was that the surgeon that Tyler had we're in Manchester. We were at Manchester Children's Hospital. The surgeon wasn't in Manchester anymore. And in my mind, I wanted the same surgeon that Tyler had had for Casey. So this kind of added a bit of a spanner in the works for us, as this surgeon had now moved to Italy. So we kind of went backwards and forwards for a while, whether or not we should fly to Italy with him and get in touch with this surgeon and have the surgeon and the same, I mean, it was the same surgeon, same red, everything. There would be a like for like for Tyler. So I thought, kind of what, you know, because Tyler's done so well and everything's been so successful, I kind of thought I want to give Casey the same opportunity. So I don't know. Yeah, so a bit mental at the time. We flew to Italy and we went to the hospital, children's hospital in Florence. They sort of set us up in an apartment right next to the hotel, hospital.
A little bit different.
Set us up in an apartment there. I mean, obviously my husband and I basically lived in the hospital with Casey. He had his pull-through operation and it actually turned out he had long segment Hirschsprung's disease. So I kind of feel like now, if I ever had another child, I would never believe. I don't think they know until they're actually in there taking away bowel and sending it to pathology. Like, I just don't believe they can say that. So, you know, that was a bit, I'd had my hopes up that it was going to be a similar situation. It was going to be like probably a 7-8 hour operation and Casey just was in there. It was like all day. It was ridiculous. And someone came out to tell us and they were like, it's a lot more complicated than they initially thought. Anyway, he came out, he'd ended up having, I think, over half of his large intestine removed. And so then obviously we were in hospital in Florence and I knew things weren't right. His bottom wasn't healing and it just didn't look the same. It just wasn't right. There was something not right and I just wasn't happy. Obviously, there was a language barrier between the nurses looking after him and us, and it was all a bit complicated. But I just wasn't, I just didn't feel the same as Tyler. I knew something wasn't quite right. Anyway, I had to just take their word for it that everything was okay. So I think we were in hospital for maybe 5 or 6 days. And then they said, you know, go back to the apartment and just kind of sort of be living in Florence for a couple of days until you fly home. And then we'll come back to the hospital, have another look at him before you can fly back to England. We'd probably been out of hospital about 12 hours and I went to change Casey's nappy and there was just blood absolutely like gushing out of him. I ran back to the hospital with him. I've never run so fast in my life. And I just knocked on the surgeon's door and I was like, he's like, what do I do? He basically got rushed back into an emergency surgery. And what had happened was it hadn't taken. The stitches had come away internally. So basically it was all just floating about in there really. So I had the large intestine hadn't sutured to his rectum. So it was all, yeah. So he was bleeding internally, basically. So it was all quite dramatic and scary and everything. So it was kind of like a second pull through he was having to have. I think they had to remove a little bit more bowel and then redo it. He was in another... So in the space of a week, he'd been in surgery for like 20 hours or something ridiculous. And he's obviously only like 7 weeks old. They did what they needed to do and whatever, they managed to kind of, you know, fix it. And then I think we flew home a few days later. Anyway, we came home and his bottom just wasn't, I've never seen anything, it was terrible. It was just not healing well. At this point, the surgeon that we were with in Florence, I said, who do you recommend we go to back in the UK? I wasn't overly impressed with the team in Manchester at the time. I kind of felt like there weren't really many people there, to be honest. It was like they were getting in new people and it wasn't really a Hirschsprung centre anymore. So they recommended Alderhay in Liverpool. They said, you know, there's a whole massive team of them there. So that's what we did. We went to Alderhay. But it was just, yeah, one thing after another once we got home. Until he was just getting enterocolitis all the time. His bottom wasn't healing. We had to have Botox and we had to try everything. He was going under general anaesthetic because you have to do a thing where they put this like metal rod into the child's bottom to make sure it's... Every time he had to do that, he had to go under general because it was just so sore, his bottom, and everything was just not, definitely not a like for like for Tyler, because Tyler's had been a lot more straightforward. Every complication he just literally had. And then I think he got to about 9 months old and they just recommended that they form a stoma for him, which is what we did. And he is now 5 and still lives with the stoma. Probably the best thing we ever did for him was the stoma, even though he was still very much in and out of hospital till the age of about 2.5. He's now a lot more stable, thankfully, but yeah, it was the best thing we ever did. So it's kind of the story and shows the two completely different extremes of both of them. So yeah.
Wow. Yeah. No, I've got so many questions. I am amazed, I guess, about just the difference. I know you had spoken a little bit sort of off air and about the two complete differences in what is broadly the same condition. I know long segment, short segment are both come with their sort of different parts, but broadly the same condition. And just two totally different experiences. One part I will pick up on your first child, Tyler, when you were told it was either cystic fibrosis or Hirschsprung's,
yeah,
which is something I've never heard before. Was that something to do with the bowel, or was that what?
Apparently.
The station that makes you feel good.
Andy and Anna here from your new favourite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Yeah, so apparently they have cystic fibrosis. They present the same when they're first born. So I think they don't pass meconium. I think they have sluggish bowels. So the presentation, they're the same. So we were, I mean, obviously, given cystic fibrosis as another option wasn't, I would like, you know, in that situation, Hirschsprung's disease is definitely, you know, you kind of would take that. So it was a bit of a relief to hear that he had Hirschsprung's disease when we were given those two options as the two things that it could have been diagnosed as.
Yeah, you're sort of rocking a hard place at that point, aren't you? You're kind of saying, yeah, well, you could have this and you could have that. Both are not great, but I guess,
yeah,
I guess lesser of two evils, I guess, would be the term. But yeah, no, I've never heard of both conditions presenting the same. Again, that might be common knowledge to some people. I've never heard of it. So that really, really interested me. The other point as well, when you were told that Casey was going to have Hirschsprung's,
yeah,
and you were told, oh, it'll be, you know, broadly the same.
With Tyler, I was told it was a sporadic occurrence. We did like a genetic, we did blood tests and stuff, and we saw genetics, and they were like, oh, it's just one of those things, you know, sometimes you have a child and they can have X or Y, whatever. So we kind of, that's what we were told for Tyler. Not that it would have ever put us off having another child, but, you know, I went into my second pregnancy thinking, okay, we've had that with Tyler. That's been, you know, it's been what it's been, but we'll move forward. So it was a shock and it wasn't a shock. I mean, I'm the one that diagnosed Casey pretty much. He didn't pass meconium in the first night. He wasn't feeding. It was literally the same performance. They thought I was mental. I was like, please take him to NICU. He has got Hirschsprung's disease. His brother has Hirschsprung's disease. I've seen this before, only 2 years ago. And they were like, oh, you know, you've had a C-section. It could just be sluggish bowel and la, 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 la. I was like, no. I'm telling you now he's got Hirschsprung's disease. Like, I know he does. So I like forced them to take, I think they thought I was mental. I was like, take him to NICU and have him biopsied. I know he's got it. So... yeah, I kind of forced that on them and they kept sending in consultants. And some of the consultants, the problem you've got is some of the consultants that were coming to see me, they'd never seen Hirschsprung's disease before. They hadn't even heard of it since they like studied it for 5 minutes in a lecture at medical school. And so they genuinely thought I was mental. They were like, really? We've never seen it before. Like, we really do. It's so rare. And I was like, my other son has it. I'm telling you now he's got it. And it literally was a bit of a graft to get them to believe me. And I was in a local hospital this time. So the other hospital I had Tyler at was a city hospital. So they were a bit more aware of it and had seen a lot more of it. So I was like, just transfer him to the city hospital and they'll look after him. So that's what they did.
I can't believe that they didn't see that you had one son with Hirschsprung's and then when you've said this symptom, I think it's this, why they would not take your word on it. I understand their doctors, they're, you know, qualified and yada, 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 all of that stuff. But I mean, that just sounds bizarre to me that you had to fight so hard to, especially as you already had one son with Hirschsprung's. I mean,
so unheard of. You get all these doctors that are literally like, I've obviously spoken to so many doctors now and literally, I mean, just like a GP, they're like, Hirschsprung, like, I can't believe it. They're like, not heard about that word for 25 years since a lecture. And like some of my friends that have studied medicine, and I'm like, do you really not learn about it? They're like, literally, we learn about it for maybe one lecture. Like, it's brought up Hirschsprung's disease and that's it. And it's like, you'll probably never see it in your career and blah, blah, blah. And so, yeah. So you do get, so when you say it to people, they just think you're probably like a huge hypochondriac. And like,
I do get that from a medical side, because as much as it is everyday words to us and probably to a lot of people listening, yeah, you know, we know what it is and most of us know how to spell it. It took me a long time. But to adopt, I guess you have to cover so many eventualities and you can't spend a long time on. I mean, there are so many rare conditions and rare diseases. So I do get to a certain extent how you can't cover everything in such great detail and depth. But yeah, it just boggles me that, and I've heard it before with people. I heard one person whose partner had Hirschsprung's, and then they had a son, and then they had to fight for diagnosis, even though the father had Hirschsprung's. You know, I guess to some, it's possibly not seen as genetic, and again, the honest answer is nobody knows. In terms of, I know we were talking a little bit off air about genetics, and I've just been to a conference this weekend at Alderhay about Hirschsprung's disease, and even there they're saying, yeah, we don't know. But I would guess there has to be some kind of link, especially as I'm talking to you now with two children with Hirschsprung's. But then there are people like me in my situation being completely different, being one in, I have three brothers, one in four having Hirschsprung's. The other three, you know, nothing, no issues at all, no Hirschsprung's. But that kind of baffles me, really, that they didn't at least go, well, this symptom's happened and this symptom's happened, maybe we should just check, you know?
You would say that, wouldn't you?
But yeah, like I say a lot of the time, I'm not a doctor. But yeah, no, that's very, very strange. And again, I can't imagine, you know, what you're going through at this stage, having to, I guess, not only sort of contend and go, right, I now have another child with Hirschsprung's, it's going to need extra needs and help and et cetera. And then having to fight for that diagnosis as well, which, again, I can't imagine how you must have felt at that point.
To be honest with you, I was kind of, you become a bit used to it when you're like a medical mum or whatever. You kind of get used to these sorts of things. So that never really bothered me. I've kind of had to fight for every single thing that either of them have ever, you know, Tyler, before Casey was born, he ended up with like allergies and all these other things that I've always had to like fight for things for him. So like, that's strange that then I had to go down this road with Casey. Also, I was quite positive when he got his diagnosis because they said it, oh, it'll be similar. So I was thinking, right, so we'll go home, we'll do the washouts, know how to do that, no issue. Like I, in my head, I was like, I know what I'm doing. We've got this. Like, in my head, I was like, the first 3 months are going to be a bit all over the place, but, you know, then we'll be fine. Obviously, that wasn't the case.
No, but that makes sense that you go, actually, I'm probably more prepared because I've been through this before. And actually, whereas the first time you're a bit blindsided by everything, especially having no family history or anything to do with Hirschsprung's, you're a bit kind of blindsided, right, well, don't know what this is and that is and et cetera, which is presumably totally normal. And then the second time around to go, right, we're on it now. We know what we're doing. Yeah. And then to sort of be blindsided again. I mean, it's, yeah, that's why I found your story fascinating. And another point I wanted to pick up on as well, the surgeon. Obviously, you trusted the surgeon so much that you went to Italy to go and see him. Was was that sort of a I only trust this person type decision, or were you sort of not so confident in the sort of the hospital you were in at the moment?
Incredible, the surgeon. Like he was known for it. He'd done so much. He'd done hundreds of pull throughs. He was so well known in that sort of area, and you know, people did go to him. Like that is what he specialized in. He he just knew everything, and he had his sort of right-hand man that he was kind of like training to be like him, and they just knew everything, and they were brilliant. They were amazing, and I just fully trusted them. And it wasn't that I didn't trust the people that I was sort of speaking to in Manchester. It was kind of like they had a very different way that they were going to do things, and they were going to sort of, they basically had said things like, we'll give Casey a stoma before he leaves the hospital. And in my head, I was like, well, Tyler never had to do that. And I did washouts, and like, if I can avoid that, I want to avoid that. And like, you know, my head's kind of thinking, well, no, I don't want to do that. And then I think he was saying that he didn't do pull through, was going to open him up. And I was thinking, oh, no, I don't really want him opened up. I want to do a pull through. And that was less invasive. And so there were things that I was weighing up in my mind that I thought. And then obviously you're trusting someone to operate on your tiny, tiny baby. So, you know, you want to know how many times they've done this and how many times they've done this successfully. They didn't really have that to offer me. They were quite new to the game. I didn't really want my child to be one of the firsts. You know, you kind of want to see someone that's got sort of 10, 20 years experience when they're operating on your child. So these are the kind of things I was weighing up in my head. And like I said, Manchester, it seemed to be since this guy had left, the Hirschsprung sort of centre had dismantled a bit, and people from Manchester were going to Alder Hey, and there wasn't really. And I also knew, because my other son was still seeing, we were having appointments cancelled, different consultants all the time. There was never like a consistent person. So I kind of knew there wasn't really anything. There was no stability there. I mean, obviously it wasn't as big a deal with Tyler because he was doing okay, but I didn't want that when I was going through. I knew what those first few months were going to look like, and I needed stability. And I kind of felt like Manchester didn't really have it at the time.
Yep.
And obviously you're kind of like, well, you want a like for both your children when...
Absolutely. No, that makes absolute sense. And I fully... understand, through having spoken to lots of people, lots of parents, that you are entrusting a doctor to operate on the most precious part of your life, your child. You know, so you want 1,000,000% confidence in the fact, and I get, as you said, if they haven't had that experience yet. And they're sort of saying, well, we could do this or we could do that. Oh, well, I'm not sure with this, or I haven't done any of that. That makes absolute sense as to why you would trust this particular doctor in Italy. And you said you sort of ummed and ahed a little bit about thinking, oh, do we go? Do we not? Was there sort of one particular part that made you think, right, we're definitely doing this now, or is there sort of a mixture of things?
I think we kind of spoke to sort of family, wanted their opinions. We talked about it a lot, and I think we went to see the consultant we're now under in Alder Hey as well. It was like we were interviewing for surgeons. And we were very open, and like this particular surgeon that we're under at Alder Hey, like she knew the whole, like she worked with this surgeon, she knew this surgeon really well. Yeah, I don't know, it was tough because obviously we had to leave Tyler behind, so it was like leaving Tyler in England for 2 weeks. There were lots of different layers to the whole thing, but we just felt like it was just the right decision to make, to do it.
Definitely. And you mentioned as well about having different consultants. I mean, I was very fortunate. I pretty much saw the same guy each time. And if I didn't, I saw his right-hand man. So I guess something that's probably not mentioned as much, consistency in doctors. And that goes, I guess, for all professions. If you see the same person each time, you're going to build up that rapport, and they're going to know you and your children a lot better than if you see this person, and then you see another person, then you see another person, then you see another person. Because again, like we said before, not everybody can be across every small thing. So you're seeing somebody for the first time, they take one quick look at your notes, they go, right, they have this, this, and this, okay, and we'll do the checkup and whatever. Whereas if you have the same person, they are going to know you know, little things about you, not just sort of, you know, medically and whatever. They're going to know a lot more about personality, what you respond to better, how you know, address them and this, that, the other, a lot better than if you see people this, you know, all over the place. But again, I think sometimes, obviously, it can't be helped, could it? I mean, sometimes you just kind of, you see who you see because they're busy and whatnot.
So now at Alder Hey, when, you know, Casey can sometimes end up in hospital, we don't necessarily always see his like full-on consultant when we go in. We'll see like the registrar or someone on call or whatever. But they do always. So like we were in, when were we last in with Casey? It's been quite a while, thankfully. So it was not the October, just been the October before he was in hospital. And they were we were seeing a registrar and they were talking about how his stoma was too tight or something. Anyway, they were saying that they wanted to take him into surgery and do something with his stoma and blah, 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 blah. And my head's like, what the hell? Like, no way. That is not happening. I know that he's just like dehydrated. He's having a lot of stoma losses and absolutely categorically not happening. Like, he doesn't need to do that. And they were like, they do something where they put their finger in the stoma to see if, and I said, he's obviously like clenching, like that's not because his stoma's tight. And they're like, nope, his stoma's tight, da, 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 da. Anyway, I was like, I'd really like you to go and speak to our consultant about this. Like, anyway, the consultant ended up coming in to see me and she totally agreed. She knew all of Casey's history and she agreed. She was like, yeah, absolutely, definitely not. I totally agree with you. Like, Casey's also autistic, so he does struggle in the medical situations and he does tense up and all these things, and these are things that she knew about him that the registrar didn't know about him. And so, yeah, I mean, yeah, that's just another example where it's important to know that you've got the relationship with your main consultant and they can come in and speak to you and so kind of be like, absolutely not, he's not going into general anaesthetic again, which is not necessary.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. And it is having that, you know, relationship and also knowing your patients and knowing people and going, right, actually, yes, this is the reason why, or this could be happening. And yeah, no, I fully support that. I think you're absolutely right as well. And again, I guess on that sort of point as well, one thing that I will always advocate for, as also happened in my life and it happens, you know, in a lot of people that I speak to, is mother's instinct. I think that is something that is just so, so important. And I think, especially when you mentioned about having to fight again for Casey's Hirschsprungs, and to say, actually, yes, I know that, I know that he has Hirschsprungs. I just think that's something that is possibly underrated at times. And I think that's something that's so, so important to, and something to always bear in mind as well when mothers are saying, actually, I just feel that this could be the case. I know you said that there were sort of similar symptoms as well, but was it also, as well as the symptoms presenting, was there also just sort of an overwhelming sort of indescribable feeling as well?
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Andy and Anna here from your new favourite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are no such thing as a fish.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
I just knew. I just knew. It's just the way he was so sleepy, and it was just like I was back in time 2 years before. I just knew he did. I was trying not to say it out loud, but in my head. And then you go through the night, and he's doing. I just knew. And everyone's saying the same thing, like, oh, he's not going to have it again. And I was like, I didn't want to say, well, I actually think he does.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's kind of, I guess for a lot of people, it's this feeling that you just can't shake, and you go, right, I know. I don't know how I know, but I know, you know. And yeah, it still baffles me that said, oh, it'll be exactly the same, or oh, he won't have it again because, you know, it's so rare and it's this. I genuinely don't think anyone knows.
No, they don't. Not at all.
And but I guess
people say it to me now, they're like, oh, well, you know, when you know that you carry this genetic condition, you can have that gene removed if you go to, and they're like, can you not do that with Hirschsprung's disease? I'm like, no. Like, they don't know. They don't even know what gene it is. They don't know anything. So no, you can't do that. You kind of just have to go with it and see what happens.
Yeah. I think there is genetic testing, but again, I don't know a whole lot about it in terms of, I've seen bits and pieces, but I don't know in terms of what it can say, you know, in the moment. I'm not 100% sure. So, but I know that that's something that some people have sort of, who have Hirschsprung's, have sort of mentioned as well. And I know you mentioned as well to me something else that you wanted to say, which is the possibility of having more children. So obviously some people who have Hirschsprung's, or some people who have children who have Hirschsprung's, then, you know, possibly may fear having another child because they may have Hirschsprung's, or their child with Hirschsprung's went through a really bad experience and they don't want that again. But I know you've said, though, I'm not afraid.
I'm not. I mean, I think a lot of people would think I'm a bit mental, but I wouldn't swap Tyler and Casey for anything, obviously. I know that, I mean, Tyler, thankfully, you know, he doesn't remember any of it. He has his challenges now, but he doesn't, he takes it in his stride. He doesn't faze him. He doesn't care. I know for Casey, obviously, he lives with a stoma. He's had to have a lot of different operations and everything, but we've kind of got through it. He's thriving. He's, you know, in terms of his health, he's doing really well. And I wouldn't not have another child because of a risk of Hirschsprung's disease. Like, it doesn't really scare me. It's obviously not something you want to give to a child, but I also don't want, you know, Tyler and Casey, when they're older, to think, oh, I don't want to have children. I don't want them to think that I stopped having children, because I always wanted like a big family. I don't want them to think, oh, I didn't do it because I was scared of this disease that you guys have. And I don't want them to then think, I don't want to have children because, well, look, my mum stopped. Do you know what I mean? I kind of feel like, I also think as the years go on, I'm hoping they're going to, I mean, like, you know, I think 30 years ago, they didn't do pull-through operations. So, you know, things have slowly progressed. So I'm kind of hoping things continue to. I know that they are doing more research at Alder Hey. You know, there's definitely doctors there that have a big interest in Hirschsprung's disease and want to find out more about it and more ways to kind of sort of manage it all. So, yeah, I wouldn't say it's something that's, I do see it on a lot of these Facebook groups. Like, I've had one child with it, would you go on to have another? And I always post on those like comment on it, like absolutely, like please don't be scared, just go with it and do it, and you know more about it now than you did before, so you know you'll tackle it and you'll just get through it.
Yeah, and I think as well, I think it depends entirely on the individual and the experiences you've had, I guess. I mean, and there is no right answer, I guess. Are you
wishing? We should get it if, you know, it is scary. It's not the ideal situation to be in with your children, but it is what it is.
Yeah, absolutely. But your reasonings make absolute sense to me. You know, you don't want your children to be scared or worried that, oh no, what if my child has Hirschsprung's or whatever, because as you said, you got through it, you know, you get through it, you're working through it, they're doing really well, thriving, you know, to all intents and purposes. Again, it's a condition you can't, you know, necessarily see, so to all intents and purposes you are sort of quote unquote normal. So the idea that, you know, why wouldn't you go on and have children makes absolute sense to me. But then I do understand there are people who go through, you know, all manner of traumatic experiences with Hirschsprung's and then think, oh, I don't want to do that again. And I think both are totally valid. But I think that's an excellent point to make. And then if we sort of, as we sort of circle towards the end here, the future. A question I tend to always ask everybody. In terms of the future for your two boys, doesn't have to be sort of medically, but just in terms of what you think the future looks like for them, what do you think?
Tyler, I don't know. I mean, if he was to be sat here answering it, he'd be like, I want to be a footballer.
Brilliant. Great career.
That would be what his answer would be. I do think that they, because he's seen everything that's happened with Casey, and Casey's also like nonverbal autistic and everything, so he's had quite a few more challenges than Tyler. I think, you know, Tyler would probably in his heart of hearts be like, I want to be a doctor to look after Casey. Like, that's kind of something he's always thought in his head. Like, I think he sees himself very different to Casey in terms of his Hirschsprung's disease and everything, so I think probably that, obviously footballer first.
Yeah, absolutely.
For Casey, I just want him to be happy. Like I say, he's nonverbal autistic. He has a lot more struggles now than just his Hirschsprung's disease. But just for him to be happy and healthy and do long stints out of hospital, like thankfully he is doing. Yeah, that would be the future for those two.
Brilliant. Thank you. Thank you ever so much for coming on. Obviously wish you and your whole family the best and lots of stints outside of hospital, hopefully for the future. Yeah, and just thank you so much for coming on, sharing the story for your two boys. Learned a lot from this. I learned an awful lot from this, because as I said at the very beginning, completely unique case that I've never spoken to anybody with this situation, and I've learned an awful lot, and I dare say a lot of people listening will have learned a lot from you today as well. But yeah, all that remains to say is just I wish you, your family, just all the very best for everything that comes in the future.
Thank you. You too.
Thank you for listening to the Hirschsprung's Hour on UK Health Radio. You can find me on Facebook under Tom's Hirschsprung's Podcast, or Instagram on Tom's_Hirschsprung's_podcast. I hope you enjoyed the show, and we'll bring you another episode soon.
Andy and Anna here from your new favourite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.